Good evening. Before I get started, just as a reminder, the Spanish are having a Mother's Day dinner. I believe it's right after services tonight, so I think everybody's invited. So if you want to go over there, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of good food. Tonight I'm going to talk about the characteristics of a healthy congregation. Recently I listened to a book on CD by an author named Tom Rainer. And this author discusses different things that different churches that he looked at could improve, what they were doing good. So tonight I'm going to give seven factors based off scriptures on what makes a healthy congregation. Also in this book, Mr. Rainer estimates that only 10% of all churches in the U.S. are considered healthy. And the rest are somewhere between sick and dying. My first point, Jesus, if you look in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, Jesus gives us the Great Commission. And in those verses, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." A characteristic of a healthy congregation is a congregation that acts on the Great Commission. It's a congregation a church that not only sends money to foreign missionaries, but sends people as well to teach, minister, and baptize. It's a congregation that is active in their surrounding community in attempting to bring souls to Christ. Members of a healthy congregation are willing to go into their community and work to bring souls to Christ and not just sit around and wait for it to happen without prayer, without sacrifice, and without a lot of hard work. For example, the community college here in Dodge, we can do things to let them know that we are here, whether it be through devotionals or meals or some sort. Another thing that we do is we support the orphans financially in Haiti. Everybody can write letters. They need to know more than just that we're giving money. A congregation's ministry and programs are focused to those outside the church, not inwardly to those inside the congregation. There's no such things as holy huddles in a healthy congregation. Programs and ministries are focused on bringing souls to Christ and the making of disciples. The Apostle John tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him." Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." A healthy congregation prays together, and prayer meetings have not become routine. Prayer and a healthy congregation go hand in hand. There is not a slow erosion of vibrant, genuine prayer within the organization, which leads to a slow erosion of ministries that once had a great impact. Prayer without passion is like failing to breathe. Thirdly, in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Even though he did not know where he was going, by faith he made his home in the promised land. Like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." Abraham did not do what was comfortable to him and known to him. He followed God to an unknown land when God told him to go. Abraham looked forward and not into the past. A healthy congregation does the same thing. They don't look back at the good times, but look forward to see where God is calling them to minister. A healthy congregation does not focus on personal preferences, styles, or preachers of the past. A healthy congregation has a purpose, which is to bring souls to Christ according to His will and to reach continually outward to souls that have fallen away. You can't be a disciple without being an evangelist. Gary does a great job in bringing the sound scriptural messages every time he gets up here. But those messages are not going to do what they need to do if we don't do our study at home. In James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 and 8 through 10, he writes, "My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, 'Here's a good seat for you,' but say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'You sit on the floor by my feet,' have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? If you really keep the royal law found in the scripture, 'Love your neighbor as yourself,' you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers." A healthy congregation does not show favoritism. A healthy congregation is not one who waits on members who need help. They go to them and help. A healthy congregation does not become some type of fortress trying to keep their own preferences safe. A healthy congregation has strength and confidence in God to keep reaching out and actively working to serve others within the congregation, outside the congregation, or outside within their group, outside their group, even to those outside the congregation, because of love and not a feeling of obligation. Healthy members don't make negative comments about serving God of other members. Jesus commanded us to make disciples, not just be one. How is a person able to be a disciple and grow as a Christian if they're not allowed to serve and show others what a disciple of Christ is? A healthy congregation builds disciples and new Christians through love and not through negative comments. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 45, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need." These verses in Acts state anyone. A healthy congregation does not focus their budgets just on inward needs, but also outward needs. A healthy congregation funds their budget to meet the commands of the Great Commission. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, and 11 through 13, and also in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 29 through 30. Again, those verses are Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, 11 and 13, and Ephesians chapter 5, verses 29 through 30. "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, and just as you were called to one hope when you were called. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of His body." A healthy congregation is not self-serving, self-giving, or self-entitled. The church is a body of believers who function for the greater good of their congregation according to the Scriptures. A healthy congregation does not have members who demand their own preferences and attempt to influence others, to divide. A healthy congregation does not continually criticize its leaders or other members with the purpose of discouraging or excluding. Why would a healthy congregation discourage an immature or maybe a new Christian from some specific task or specific role in the church, like maybe assisting in teaching or other things? Peter made a lot of mistakes, and Jesus did not exclude him. Many leaders in the early church need correction. Paul even confronted Peter about the mistakes that Peter had made. Yet Jesus chose Peter and Paul to become strong pillars in his foundation to his church. A healthy congregation does not ostracize and criticize immature Christians due to being swayed by powerful personalities, coming from broken families, being too swayed by the current culture, whether that's Facebook, Snapchat, piercings, tattoos, and I know I'm guilty of that. Not behaving in a manner that is unbecoming in worship, they continue to love them, humbly teach them through their own experiences to build them up. The church in Corinth struggled with some of these same issues, and Jesus did not give up on them. Healthy congregations are not driven by the opinion of members on authorizations, preferences, and styles, and confidence of their own righteousness. This is what the Pharisees were. Jesus said in the parable of the Pharisees and the tax collector in Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. Again, that's Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." A healthy congregation is not about themselves, it's about Jesus. It's not about how awesome you are compared to others, or how smart you are, or how righteous you are, or how much more holy you are than the person in the pew across the aisle. It's all about Jesus. A healthy congregation has a clear purpose. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare praises of him who called you out of darkness into the wonderful light." 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. "Therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing now." Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. "Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." And Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, he said, "Then go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." These are just some of the purposes that God commands his church to do. A congregation that just goes through the motions of sitting in the pew, or sitting in class, or visiting with friends is not a gospel-driven, disciple-making people according to God in the Scriptures. The author C.S. Lewis summed up many Scriptures by defining the church as this. The Christian church is not a building, but a body of believers united in Christ. Its role is to worship God, nurture and edify, and reach out to the suffering world with the saving message of the gospel, as well as the practical compassion and mercy exemplified in Christ. To this end, Christianity is not some ivory tower academic discipline removed from the reality of daily life. Instead, learning more about the church helps us make a real difference in the world, not just temporarily, but for all eternity. Jesus said that the mark of his followers is love. The primary relationship between us and God is love. The characteristic of a healthy church is love. Love for each other and love for the people outside of our own comfort zone that need Christ. Love compels us to evangelize and make disciples of Christ. If love compels both, then also using love is how we do both. A church that is looking inward and not outward is not healthy. All of this also involves action, serving, not sitting. If we understand and what makes a healthy church and then act on it, through the power of God, our culture, our community, our church, and our kids are going to live a better life and hopefully reach salvation. And with that, Tim can lead the song that he selected.